What's good, Dadcast Nation? Hey, welcome to the Dadcast Podcast. I'm your host, Lavelle Lemonnier, and I want to thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Hey, before we get started, let me give a big shout out to my lovely wife and the co-creator of this show, Dr. Gabrielle Lemonnier. Unfortunately, she can't be with us today, but I'm sure she's going to be checking this episode out. Hey, also, you guys, please show some love to our great season 4 sponsors. You'll find their information immediately following this show. Make sure you check out their socials. They have some great products and services that are available to you. Hey, today's show is definitely one of my favorite ones. We have the pleasure of talking with one of gospel music's most exciting artists. She has an undeniable and incredible voice. Listen, when I tell you this woman can flat out sing, she is a singer's singer. Today's guest is a Stellar and Dove Award-winning, she's a Stellar and Dove Award-winning artist. She's also been Grammy nominated. She's a founding member and lead singer of the world-renowned group Virtue. She has been featured on gospel superstar B.B. Winans' album Dream. Now, as a solo artist, she has a chart-topping hit that many of you, probably all of you know, the song Redeemer. She is also a notable businesswoman. Please help me welcome to the show, gospel star, Karima Trotter.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being a part of our show. I'm sure the Dadcast audience is excited to see you and hear from you and to find out what's going on with you. So we definitely thank you and welcome you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Always honored when anyone asks me to come on and share a story.
Well, we're going to talk about a few things this morning. So as I mentioned in the intro, you are not a newcomer to the gospel industry. A lot of our viewers, I'm sure, are familiar with the, I call them a super group, Virtue. They had so many wonderful songs, and you were front and center as a part of that group. So what have you been up to since that you last did anything with that group up until now?
Well, that group actually has evolved to my blood sisters. I started the group, it'll be 25 years ago, 25 years at the end of this month that we released the debut album entitled Virtue, but one was my sister, and that's Ebony. And then the group evolved to three sisters. We added our baby sister, Heather. And so that's been about 20 years. So we've been around for a minute. So I still sing with them, actually have gigs with them. Of course, I talk to them 25 times a day. All day, every day. But yeah, we're still traveling. We still sing. We have some stuff coming up this summer. So they are still here in my life, present. Also, this past weekend, Easter weekend, the group was honored at our alma mater in Huntsville, Alabama. And so the older members joined us. So it was all five of us on stage singing. It was a good time. It was an amazing time. So there's a lot of chatter that we should do a reunion tour, a reunion song, album, something. So keep your ear to the floor. We'll let you know.
We will be looking forward to it. And by the way, I talked to my wife right before we came on, and she told me, now you got to forgive me, but this is the way she told me to tell you. She told me to tell. She said, say, hey, girl, hey, to her.
Hey, girl, hey. Tell her exactly the same thing back. Hey, girl, hey. Just a different inflection.
Hey, so now you're signed to a new label. Yes. You got a solo deal. So let's talk about that. Redeemer, that's a massive hit.
Thinking about it, it always gives me goosebumps, because when God has something for you, you just have to walk in it and you have to believe. And so at this point in the career phase of music, I literally thought, you know, a solo project was just, I was done. I did one maybe 11 years ago. I did a solo project called Just Karima. And it was wonderful. It was great. I had all the support, but it just didn't feel like, ooh, I did it. You know what I mean? I did it, and then God showed me, listen, you can write, because I didn't believe I could write. I can, you know, do the whole thing by myself. And God allowed me to write 18 songs for that project. in wow. 3 months. In 3 months, I had written 18 songs. I'm like, okay, this wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. But, you know, sometimes you need a restart. And so I gave myself some years to like, Virtue had taken a hiatus. Everybody wanted to like, just focus on family and other ventures and, you know, personal things that they just wanted to pursue. And so I was like, well, I don't want to stop music. So I did that. But then I ventured off and I did, I started a soup company in that 10-year period. I also started working as a design consultant and a designer for a well-known brand. Like everybody loves this brand. Beautiful, beautiful furniture. You just want to be in the store because it's so gorgeous. And I'll just say the name was Restoration Hardware. Everybody loves Restoration Hardware. And so I did that. And in the time, I gave myself a year. I was like, I need a year here just to, you know, to supplement my bills and, you know, just extra things that I needed to do. And so I just felt empty, even though it was a beautiful facility. The people were extra nice. I still talk to them to the day today. I just didn't feel fulfilled. And so these hallways were so long, but I would, you know, I would walk those hallways and I would pray and I would say, God, you know, this is a beautiful place you got me in. I asked to work here and you provided that, but this can't be it. You know, this can't be it. What else do you have for me? And I would say that almost just about every day until the point where I believed that I didn't belong there anymore. And so after I said that, I was like, you know what, God, by the new year, because that was July of 19. And I said, Lord, the beginning of 2020, I do not want to be here. I said, you're going to have to make a way for me. It's going to have to, you know, work itself out. And I was like, okay, this is not going to be easy. You know, trying to find my way, because although I went back to school and got a degree and, you know, I've never done anything other than music or other than being a creative. So sitting behind a desk or, you know, or any kind of job that allowed me not to be free, you know, wasn't an option for me. So I said, listen, it has got to happen. And at the beginning of that year, you know, the pandemic hit. It hit and I got COVID. So I couldn't go back to work at that point in time. And so that, you know, of course I recovered from it. And then I was just like, there has to be a reason. I'm so careful. How did I get COVID? I mean, come on, God, you know, but at the same time, you know, I got over that. And then I was able to tell them I wasn't coming back. I had no clue that, that was July of 2019 that I had met the record label that I'm on, but actually come to find out I've known them and worked with them the course of like at least 20 years ago, this guy that the CEO of this label.
Is that Dare Records?
The reason I found out is because I was praying. I had listened to Lisa and Juan Winans. They had a song out and it was called It Belongs to Me. It's called It Belongs to Me. And it's beautiful. And so I would listen to that song and go all the way in crying like, God, it belongs to you. You have got to provide. You will provide. I believe it. And so God had me pay attention to their packaging, because if it's aesthetically beautiful, I'm looking, you know, to see like, oh, who did this? Who did their pictures? Who dressed them? I was paying attention to all of that. And it just dawned on me like, this is what you need. This is what you need. You need the same type of quality. You know, a label that's going to pour into you and give you the desires of your heart. You know, as an artist, you want to see beautiful artwork. You want to see and hear an amazing sound, you know? And so I said, God, without me coveting, I want what they have. I said those words. I literally said those words. I want what they have. And I kept saying it and come to find out, I looked in my DM, it was in October, and I kept praying that prayer. And then I got a little discouraged and I went back to that prayer, looked in my DM. It was October. It was a Thursday. I had a DM from the CEO of that record label, Dare Records. And I'm just like, wait a minute, Lord, hold up. I did ask, but how, you know what? Let me not ask questions. I asked, you provided. And so I, you know, go and I'm like, Dear Record, like, okay, this is crazy. So I'm texting, you know, writing a message to him. It's like, hey, what's up? And so this guy, apparently, like I said, I knew him, but he knew I was from New Orleans. So he was like, what's up, Wody? That's a New Orleans thing, right? And I'm just like, how is he saying Wody? And why is he like so friendly? So he's just a, you know, a playful, like very friendly, just outgoing guy. And he was like, I just wanted to reach out and see what you were doing. Like, are you still singing? What is going on with Virtue? Like, do you guys want music out? Like, he said, you know, Dear Records, that's my record label. And like, what's up? I was like, no way. No way. Yes way. So that, I mean, the rest is history. I had a record deal by December. And actually, within that time frame, I had written a song because I wanted to show God that I was serious. So I reached out to my writing partner in Atlanta, who actually did the whole first CD with me, Jess Karima. And we wrote this amazing song. And it was so phenomenal that I started putting like little clips on my page just to get recognition somehow. Didn't know what was going to come of it, but I wanted people to hear it. And I'm like, if I got to release this song myself on TuneCore, on some outlet, I'm going to do it. And so I thought that's the reason he reached out, because he heard the music on my page. And he said he had never heard it. He never even saw a clip, but he just was led. He felt compelled to reach out to me. I was like, Jesus, that's who it was. It was God. So I'm just saying, when things are, you know, when you ask God for something and he wants this to happen for you, he's going to provide. He's going to open up doors that you can't even imagine. He will make the impossible possible. There is nothing impossible with him. And so I had a record deal by December. It was a whirlwind. My photo shoot was in February. I recorded in February with Aaron Lindsay out in California. I was scared to fly because I didn't want to get sick. But I, you know, I gotten over it pretty good. And so I was like, listen, this is happening. And the rest, God did. Like, I mean, he did it all, but he just kept showing me, this is what you're going to do. And so when I spoke, you know, the words like, Lord, I would love to see a number one. I've never seen a number one in 25 years of singing. We've gotten close to a number one on the Billboard charts, but never a number one. He not only gave me a number one, he gave me two consecutive weeks at number one with Redeemer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm just like blown away that everything that I have asked for, there has been no lack. There's been no lack. There's been times where I've been discouraged. There's been times where I've been like, I don't know what my next step is. Is this even what I'm supposed to be doing? But God always sends someone. He always sends, you know, it's something, even if it's your reading or something, he'll send something as a reminder to let you know, I got you. Don't worry. And so right. That has been my whole stance on this entire new journey of reintroducing myself to the industry as a solo artist, because it's not easy. It's not easy, but you definitely develop tough skin. And I have in the process, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that it's still all 100% smelling like roses and tasting like peaches and it's not, but my fate is so strong in God that I know that even when things don't feel like they're supposed to, I'm okay. I'm covered. So I'm just like here for the ride. I'm like, I'm here, God. Use me. Take me where you want me to go. And so now we're on the next single.
There you go. You mentioned Aaron Lindsay, right? That's a super producer. That guy is amazing.
So good.
Yeah,
really enjoyed working with him.
Some work.
I always pride myself in, you know, taking note and how I feel when I'm in the studio. And when I got to Los Angeles, from the day I spoke to Aaron, I knew our connection was going to be like, I'm sure it's not just me. Everybody who works with him says the same thing. He is a man of God. His entire family, his daughter, his wife, his whole family, anointed and blessed and just genuinely sweet. And when he prayed that Redeemer do what it did, I knew it was going to happen because I felt his connection to God. You know what I mean? Right. And so this next single he wrote as well. And it was supposed to be something that I was going to write on. But when I listened to it, it immediately brought me to tears. I was like, I can't touch that. That is anointed, and I'm going to sing it just as it is. And comes out tomorrow.
Now, let's talk about that. We'll jump ahead and talk about that. Let me see if I can share my screen with the audience. I believe I have a cover of that song. One second here. All right. I believe this is a cover. It's All Right to Cry.
There it is.
Yeah. Great looking cover. Now, Aaron, you said Aaron Lindsay wrote this song as well?
He wrote this and produced it.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. But Dadcast Nation, while you're out there, make sure when you see this episode, the song will already be out. But you will still be able to go out and stream it, download it, purchase it, and support this new single, It's All Right to Cry. Let me come back in the room here. Yeah, that guy's amazing. When I was at Lakewood Church, I did some music with Israel. And so Aaron was there a couple times, and he is an amazing guy, just like you mentioned.
So incredible. Such a being. We need more Aarons in the world. He is somebody who not only says he's going to pray for you, he prays for you on the spot. You know what I mean? And it's that is just something that is just so needed. And I just felt so blessed. I've always wanted to work with him. And, you know, him saying, I've always wanted to work with Virtue. I'm like, so maybe that'll be down the line, you know, that we get to work with Virtue with him. But in any capacity, I'm satisfied. He is amazing.
Right. So let me just ask this question, because when I listen to your voice, obviously I can hear some jazz in you and some different influences. You could probably sing like, I don't know, like Randy Jackson would say back in the day on American Idol, you could sing the phone book and it would be just fine.
Oh,
but why gospel music? I mean, you could be out there singing R&B or jazz or something that would earn maybe millions more. I mean, gospel, everyone knows that gospel isn't the most lucrative industry. So why gospel? Why sing and write gospel music?
I've been singing gospel music my entire life. And although I love other genres of music, I just feel different when I sing gospel music. Like, I feel connected, I feel empowered, I feel happy, you know, I feel blessed. And so I used to say a while ago, because this question has been asked so many times over the course of our career, why gospel? And I'm just like, well, I feel, you know, God gave me this voice. So it is my duty to give it back and uplift him in all I do, obviously, but especially through song, to be of an encouragement, to be positive. And there are some positive, you know, music out there other than gospel, but I just feel like it's healing. You know what I mean? So I want to be able to be a source of healing for people. And so I think gospel music does that, or, you know, emulates that the best. You're able to connect. And while music across the board is universal, everybody connects with it in some form or fashion. But I just feel gospel just tugs at people's hearts. It gives them peace, you know? And so I want to be a part of that. I want to help people find peace and find healing through song. And so God gave it to me. And so I just decided I'm going to stick. I'm going to stay right here. When I first moved here to Nashville about 25 years ago, Maybe it was before I physically moved here, but I was asked to audition for Sister Act. I wasn't aware of the magnitude, you know. I was pretty shy and scared, if I'm honest. But come to find out, that's the part Lauryn Hill took. So, but I don't think anything is a mistake. You know what I mean? I think everything happens the way it happens. And now sometimes we do, like, you know, venture off a path and oops, it was a mistake. But at the same time, I'm okay with every single journey, every single thing that has happened or didn't happen, you know, in some way. I feel like God protects you from things that you can't see further down the line. You know, I don't know that I don't know anything could be different. You know, my faith may not be as strong. You know, I may be in a whole different, I just be in a different place. I'll just right. say that. And I don't feel bad about it. I thought about it. I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. You know, but I don't dwell on it. So I want to be able to continue to be a blessing to the people who need it. And, you know, that might not be for everyone because everything isn't for everyone, but I do believe that my gift is special and it is meant to bless the people who ears it falls on.
Right.
Yeah,
definitely. I think that, I know that gospel music is, you know, it's a lifeline. Even people who may not believe, they can hear the lyrics to a gospel song and it can bring them out of a dark place. And so
crazy.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of music, let's switch gears for just a minute.
Okay.
And I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
Dadcast Nation, this is off the cuff, so she doesn't know what's coming at her. I've got some music. I'm going to see if you can name that tune. I've got four songs, and there are four different genres.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off with the easy one. I'm going to go gospel first.
Okay. Oh, I can't hear it. I can hear. That's the whining.
The whinings and who?
Yeah, Anita Baker. Yeah, that's my favorite one. Yes. Yeah. It'll be all over in the morning. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's one for one, folks. One for one.
Okay, all right.
Let's go with number two. I'm gonna see. I picked this one. I'm not gonna give it away, but let's see what she has here.
Oh, yeah, I know that. That's. In Vogue,
there you go.
Yeah.
We jumped into R&B and she's two for two, folks. In Vogue. That was In Vogue, Don't Let Go.
Yes, I remember that.
Now, what about this one? You're in Nashville, which I didn't know. It's one of my favorite cities, by the way. So I'm going to give you a Nashville artist, a country artist.
Oh. Now I might not get this one. Let's see.
It's a current Nashville artist. I will tell you, they are a duo. And this was a number one hit. So they got you can read my mind.
Because when you look at me with those eyes. That's country?
Yeah.
That's funny. I know this song, but I don't know who sings it.
All right. That's Dan and Shay, a group called Dan and Shay.
I would have never got that, but I know who Dan and Shay are.
That was a number one song, Speechless, that they had last year. I believe it was number one last year at some point.
Okay.
So we're going to give a half a point, folks. We've got 2.5 points out of three. And here's the last one. We're going to a whole different genre now.
Lord.
We're going to the rock category.
Ooh.
Here we go. It's a classic rock song.
Oh God, the voice, I'm telling you, I know voices.
That's Aerosmith and Steven Tyler.
Those were easy, actually. I just don't know the names of, like, you know, I should have known Aerosmith, though. I should have known that. Now I got to go back and I don't listen to a whole lot of rock, though, but that is definitely a classic. You got me on that one. Okay, Dan and Shay, two out of two ain't bad, I guess.
All right, Dan Cass Nation. She's a gospel artist to the core. We know that. Hey, let's go through a few more questions. If there's anyone out there that you could collaborate with, write with, sing with, anybody comes to mind right off the cuff?
You know?
Let's put it out there in the atmosphere.
Love to do something. It's several people. I literally just had this conversation. I love, in gospel, I would say, I want to do something with Erica Campbell. Like, I love, you know, we call each other cousins all the time. I would like to do something with her. I love Yolanda Adams, too. And my girl, Cece.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cece's here in Nashville. Excuse me. As far as a guy, I literally just saw Maxwell, Joe, and Anthony Hamilton in concert here. And I love Joe.
Okay.
Joe can flat out, I mean, they all can sing, but he can just flat out sing, like you said, the phone book, anything. I would love to do a song with him.
All right. You heard it here, folks. Maybe we'll see something coming down the pipe. Who knows?
You know, nothing's impossible. PJ Martin, too. That's my homeboy. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. PJ is dope. He is really dope. So besides gospel music, do you have any other business endeavors? I know you, did I see something about a clothing line or something?
Oh, yeah. I launched Karima Brand on Valentine's Day. And it's an athleisure line. I literally just got out of some Karima Brand. I should have put some more on, but I have a whole website up and I'm selling, there's men's, women's, and children's. And right now I'm working on a different, just a little spring line that I'll leave my premiere line up. But of course, you know, during the course of the year, I'll switch out products and colors and stuff. But I started it because it's something I've always wanted to do. This is just the first phase of it, where me getting my feet wet in it. And I have always loved fashion. Always. My mom made all of our clothes growing up. And I would be the one to sit by the sewing machine and take all the scraps and make all my dolls' clothes, and it'd be amazing. And so over the years, you know, I have a sketchbook, so I would sketch stuff and with colors and everything. And so it's just been something that I have been gifted with. Again, God gives you gifts. And so I think gifts are meant to be given. And so, yeah, so I did that and it's going pretty well. As with anything new, you know, it takes a minute for it to, you know, kickstart and pick up, but I have some true supporters,
So you were saying about your clothing line that you've got some supporters.
I do. You know, I over the course of the pandemic, DJ D Nice started playing, and I started listening to all of, you know, his sessions and everything, and we became friends. And listen, the support that his followers give me, because he loves Redeemer, he plays Redeemer all the time, and, you know, on his praise and worships, and he, you know, he's spoken about how amazing the song is and how it just brings him closer to God. He just loves it. And I'm just like, wow, God. So I just feel like, you know, I did ask God to do something different. And so D Nice has been doing Club Quarantine Live. He did Hollywood Bowl, he did Atlanta, he did New York, and he allowed me to come on and sing Redeemer at the Hollywood Bowl. That was huge. And so I'm going to be on his second show in Las Vegas. So it's me and Fred Hammond. He's doing a whole weekend, but Sunday is dedicated to praise and worship. And so Fred and I will be doing praise and worship. But I said that because people support, that there are true supporters out there. There really are people right. who support you. And I feel like I've gotten the most support from his followers. Like I keep getting, he's given me so many followers and so many people that like just pour into my ministry. And like, and I'm just like, wow, God, thank you. So that in itself, you know, with the Karima brand, and I mentioned soup earlier. And so soup is something that I did in the interim of me trying to figure out what I was going to do because I wasn't singing full time. And I made this chicken noodle soup and it turned out amazing. Like I literally asked God, me and God has this relationship. Like, you know, I talk to him like I'm talking to you. And I'm like, listen, what you got for me? Because this right here, I need something for me. Like you have to give me something that I can do. That's not gonna cost a lot of money either to like do. And I had a craving for chicken noodle soup. I hate chicken noodle soup. Like the kind that I've had and I've tasted it and it's just been one piece of noodle or a carrot and some salty broth. And so it was just never a favorite of mine. I'm like, ew. But I craved chicken noodle soup so bad that I had to make it one day. So I got out of I was in the shower because I had to pick my daughter up from school. And I made the soup because I had everything I needed. And so I'm in the shower crying and I hear audibly fill the jars. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, what are you talking about, God? Fill the jars. What? I don't know. I'm just crying. My eyes are like, you said you was going to help me, you know, do this. And I need you to do this and that. And he's like, fill the jars. Got out of the shower. Didn't even think about filling the jars till I got in the kitchen. And I had three mason jars from just in my pantry with tops, lids. And I was like, I need something to put some soup in because I was going to pick up Carly and I wanted her to taste the soup because I just wanted her to. It was so good. I'm like, I've never tasted chicken noodle soup so good. And so I was like, this is the best chicken noodle soup I've ever had. Ended up naming the soup the best chicken noodle soup ever because it is. And so I brought some to my daughter. I poured some in the jar. My hand shook. I'm like, oh my God, you want me to sell soup? Is this what fill the jars meant? Like the parable in the Bible, the lady filling the jars with oil and he kept providing and providing. I'm like, Lord, you're too good to me. And I just need to pay more attention to know that this is what you were talking about. But I finally got it. And so the name came in the same day. Somebody had gifted me a printer. Somebody gifted me an entire website, $4,000 worth for free. Everything I needed for this soup. The name was even available on Instagram and on Facebook and for my website. And so I'm like, wow. So that's Soup Chic.
All right.
In existence. And he told me, you know, this is God's word. Like, it's going to be everywhere, Karima. And I'm just like, Lord, I don't know how that's going to happen because I know what it costs to put food in, you know, in like big places.
Right.
I knew that it was going to cost a lot. So I didn't even worry about that. I just sold the soup. I had shipped probably I started that in November. By December, I probably shipped about 30 boxes of soup by December. Boxes like 12 jars, 24 jars, 16 jars. I was selling a lot of soup and I was like, this is crazy. But he said, listen, it's going to be in stores. It's going to be worldwide. And do you know, 6 years later, I just signed two NDAs for two manufacturers. They're going to see if they can make the soup. I'm in talks with the soup to be global. So,
wow. I'm telling you. So by year seven, it'll probably be on the shelf everywhere.
I'm trusting God by the end of this year, it's going to be everywhere. That's how big my faith is. Unrealistic faith. That's what I have. If it seems impossible, that's where I'm going. Because it's going to be done. Period.
That's what he specializes in. The impossible.
The impossible. So I am so excited about every phase of what I've been like, you know, growing up in New Orleans. My mom raised us single-handedly. You know, she didn't have a lot of help. She's on welfare, but she made sure we had everything we needed. And I told God, I said, if nothing else, if you don't do anything else, Lord, I need to give my mama back all of the years that she struggled and cleaned floors and, you know, did a lot of domestic work, did some stuff. We didn't want her to do that, but she needed us to know that we were going to be provided for. We were going to go to the best schools, whether we had $1,000 in the bank or $500,000. It didn't matter. She always made sure we had everything we needed. And so I feel like, God, I want him to bless me so I can bless my mama, so I can take care of my family. That's why I want. And I want to be able to, you know, help people that are in need, that has been in my position as a single mom, you know, like just even if it's a box of makeup to give to a single mom to make her feel like, oh, I feel good. You know, those are the things I want money for. Those are the things that I want wealth for, not for myself. What good is it to have all this earthly gain and you can't help people? I just don't understand it. So that is my prayer. And I know that everything I have asked for, he's going to give it to me. I have unrealistic faith. I have faith that I've had faith the size of mustard seed. Now my faith is so big, you know, I'm just like, oh God, you don't believe you can do this? Watch this. It's going to happen. So just watch out. I'm telling you, Karima brand is about to explode, and that not just clothes. It's going to be so many things under the umbrella. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the music doing what it's supposed to do, the clothing brand, the suit, and whatever else God gifts me with to give. That's my prayer.
Amen. And Dadcast Nation, she mentioned earlier that DJ Nice was his supporters support her. Now, I cannot have the Dadcast Nation out here, and we cannot get outdone by DJ Nice. Come on now. Make sure you support Karima Trotter. Go to her socials, download her music. New song out tomorrow. It's okay.
New song out tomorrow. The clothing brand, you can just click on shop or type in shop Karima brand, Karima.com, and it all pops up. So yeah.
All right. Well, Dadcast Nation, you heard it. Check out her brand. Buy some soup. Send me a bottle. Somebody send me a bottle of soup.
Where are you? You're in Texas?
I'm in Texas. I'm in Houston. Yeah.
Houston. Okay. That's down the road from New Orleans. Are you from Houston?
I'm not originally. I grew up in Port Arthur, Texas, right outside of on the Louisiana border, but I'm from California originally.
Got it. You know, that's so funny. I have so much family in California. My sister had started doing the ancestry tree and everything. We knew that most of our family lived in Los Angeles, but we didn't know as many lived in Los Angeles because my grandmother she was one of eight kids, and all of the seven were in Los Angeles, but my grandmother went to New Orleans because they were all put up for adoption because the mom couldn't take care of them, but she ended up in Louisiana, and all her siblings lived in Los Angeles. So I have so much family in California. So the Louisiana connection, the California connection, we got it.
There you go. Hey, are you related to Bishop Trotter?
You know what? Everybody asked me that. I think the bishop had, you know, he started following us when he saw our last name being Trotter. And I'm recently, the guy from The Roots, Tariq Trotter, reached out to me as well. He's like, what's up, cuz? I'm like, what's up? So I don't know. That Trotter is such a unique name and it's not as common. So I wouldn't doubt that there's got to be some type of ties. It's just that my dad was adopted. And he passed away about 8-9 years ago. And so we didn't get to meet a whole lot of his family at all. Okay. And he has one brother that's living in New Orleans now, but I would love to find out all of who I'm related to Trotter-wise.
There you go. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak to us. We definitely pray God's choice blessings on you, everything that you said. I can't wait till you win this Grammy and get on TV and do the things that you're supposed to do. So we might see you in a movie or something. Who knows?
Yes, speak it. that's on the list too.
All right. Well, thank you again, Dadcast Nation. Make sure you check out the new song, It's Okay to Cry. It's All Right to Cry. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And her brand and all of the other things that she has going on. It's been a pleasure again, Karima Trotter, with the number one hit Redeemer and the about to be number one hit, It's All Right to Cry.
I receive it.
God bless. And Dadcast Nation, we will catch you on the next episode. Stay tuned in. Make sure you check out our sponsors. And I'm out. Peace.